Good morning. I haven't finished setting that up. Well, I will in a second here. For those of you who don't know me, and I see lots of people I don't know, my name's Meg, and I've been here at the Zen Center for about 10, 11 years, something like that, 12 years, something. And I did a meditation practice before that, and I have been doing ceramics for about a year and some. So I haven't been doing it for very long, but my Zen practice informs my ceramics practice and vice versa, and I wanted to talk about that. So I thought I'd start out with telling you a little bit about my ceramics practice and what is entailed, because that it'll help make the Zen part of it make more sense. So there's a long process of creation. You start and many different elements that go into creating a ceramic piece. So you start with the clay body, and this is just two that I've worked with, so white stone and Idaho Bluff, and there's so many more, and you can buy clay from a supply store, or you can go and dig it out of the ground, and call it whatever you want to call it. There's multiple tools that you can use to modify it, and then you make greenware. You know, so this one I fashioned this morning using a pinch. It's a pinch pot, so it's just, you just pinch the clay up. This one it goes through a firing then, and you create a bisque. And so this one has had all of the water, you put it in a kiln, and all the water is taken out of the clay. So it's a little bit more sturdy than this. And so this, I think this went up to, it's called a cone 5, and that means, I don't know, 2,000 degrees or something. And that's a 12-hour cooking process. And then you glaze, and you have all kinds of different glazes. So these are under glazes. You can put this on greenware, or you can put it on bisqueware. And then you have glazes, which you put on bisqueware mostly, and that's what gives it this texture. You know, the sheen and the color, and or in this case, sheen but no color. And then this piece is one I actually. There. More or less. Okay. And the thing I didn't mention before you even get to the clay body is inspiration, and where do you come up with your ideas. And so I have this little notebook I write things in, and I should have my phone here too, because I take pictures of things, and those help inspire me. And so a number of these pieces, like this one, I was inspired by a Japanese garden and the lanterns in it, and pictures of Korean lanterns, and this is me trying to do a pagoda. I'm still working on that one. And this one, I was inspired when I went to see a Korean pottery exhibit at the Asian Art Museum, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and they had these moon jars. And so this is hand built. This is also taking coils and creating this shape. And I think it's actually two different clay bodies. So I think the bottom part is white stone, and the top part is the Idaho Bluff. So that's why you see the speckles on the top, and it's plain on the bottom. And this one is Idaho Bluff, and that's where all the speckles come from. So there are all these different variables that can change what you end up with in the end. And a lot of it You know, and from the very beginning, the clay brings its own history, its own memory into the thing that you end up with. Like when I started making this, I was just, I was doing something else with another piece, and this was the scraps left over from that other piece. And I started to make it flat because I thought, oh, I'll show them a flat piece of clay, and then it kind of started to curve in. And so clay retains memory of shapes it was in before. And so when you're working with a piece of clay, you're working with something that has already been something before it is where it is now. And so there's that continuity, and you have to meet it where it's at. So if you're ever gonna do anything with it, you have to know where it's, you know, you don't have to know where it's been, but you get to sense where it's been, like any person you've met, you know. There's history, there's something they've been before, and it affects how you work together in the future. And of course, the other thing about ceramics that is so zen is that these are all breakable and temporary. And luckily, because, you know, I have a lot of pieces I've made, but really not so much. and I just went to see, there's an exhibit at Seattle Art Museum by a man named Ai Weiwei, who's a Chinese dissident. And he does this, he has an exhibit that is these ancient pottery pieces that the Chinese government, I don't know when it was in the 90s, I think, they were taking out this whole neighborhood, and they discovered all these antiquities, all these ancient pottery pieces, and were just throwing them away, you know, just like thousands of them. And he was like, what am I gonna do? You know, and so he's got all this stuff. And so he pulverized them and put them into glass jars. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I could pulverize all these pieces that I have rejected and put it into a glass jar. anyway, so that sort of that's part of the, you know, everything is change, you know, everything is impermanent. You know, another example is that glazes, they don't, that small things can alter how they turn out. Like if you put a piece of pottery with one glaze next to a different kind of glaze, and that other glaze has some off-gassing, it can change the coloring of the glaze next to it. So just, you know, and I do my the electrical wiring to my house isn't strong enough to support my own kiln. So I use a community kiln. And there was one time I was looking down, and there was this pink vessel, and it had these flashes of dark, like it went maroon to light pink. And they were like, oh yeah, that's because it was sitting next to this other one that had a metallic sheen to it, and it changed the way that the glaze worked. So you don't really know exactly how things are gonna turn out. You know, I mean, you'd have to control each little, you know, minutia. And anyway, I thought it was really beautiful though, the way the glaze turned out. So you learn not to be attached to a particular outcome. Because, which is also very zen, I find. So just accepting the outcome that you get, it has its own beauty, and so I like to hold the outcome lightly, and see what happens. Let's see, and then, another way is that the same glaze recipe, so each of these glazes has a recipe to it, And if you have two different people creating the same glaze, you can have a different glaze color come out. And it can just be, you know, like the source of the element that went into it. There's a bucket of sage at the studio where I go to, and there's a bucket of chrome. It's called something chrome. And they're both a green, but they're different. And so they said, well, we made this one, and this other person makes this other one, and it's the same recipe, but they just turn out different. And so that's just, you know, there's just all this, you know, the flutter of a butterfly wing affects the price of tea in China. You know, it's just like there's these small things that can change what happens, and accepting that change is important in a successful ceramics practice. And then there is this, let's see. Okay, so other ways. All right, I'm not to this yet. other things that are really important that meditation really brings to ceramics is holding focus. So if I'm doing something on the wheel and I've got something, you know, that's as fragile as this clay, you know, just if I lose my attention for a second, the whole piece, you know, it's going around and around, and if I move my thumb in the wrong way, the whole piece can fall apart. And I've tried to recover from that, and it just doesn't really out very well. So the more focus you can keep while you're working on a piece, the more the outcome will be what you want it to be or what you're expecting it to be. And that concentration is something to practice. And so I find that I practice that when I'm, especially at the potter's wheel. That's where it's really, where timing is really of importance. And let's see. Right, so every moment that I'm working on a piece, there's a decision point, and what tool do I use? What, you know, how do I shape it? Do I keep playing with it? Do I stop playing with it? What glaze am I going to use? What underglaze am I going to use? And then, so one thing that I, that, and so what I'm going to end with is this idea that I got while reading Suzuki Roshi's Zen My Beginner's Mind, where he kind of talks about how you bring your entire self into the process of creation. And he talks particularly about painting, but I'm still kind of working this through on my mind, but so each influence, each inspiration, each class I've taken, you know, everything, each teaching I bring into my art. Wait a minute, and so I'm gonna read the quote because I think it's because he kind of ties in sitting and painting, and that's kind of how I feel it is with ceramics too. When I am sitting, there is no other person. But this does not mean I ignore you. I am completely one with every existence in the phenomenal world. So when I sit, you sit. Everything sits with me. That is our zazen. When you sit, everything sits with you, and everything makes up the quality of your being. I am a part of you. I go into the quality of your being. So in this practice, we have absolute liberation from everything else. If you understand this secret, there is no difference between Zen practice and your everyday life. You can interpret everything as you wish. A wonderful painting is the result of the feeling in your fingers. If you have the feeling of the thickness of the ink in your brush, the painting is already there before you paint.
When you dip your brush into the ink, you already know the result of your drawing, or else you cannot paint. So before you do something, being is there, the result is there. Even though you look as if you were sitting quietly, all your activity, past and present, is included, and the result of your sitting is also already there. You are not resting at all. All the activity is included within you. That is your being. So all the results of your practice are included in your sitting. And this is our practice, our zazen. And that's my ceramics practice. So, yeah, thank you.
You know, one of the things I thought about early on when you were talking about is clay karma.
Yeah, right?
So this clay has memory.
Right.
Mind.
Right.
In a sense.
Yeah.
And it contributes that to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the other thing that came together for me was you made the point very clearly, but, you know, in this, in our style, we might call it together action. You've got the clay, and you've got you and your karma, and the glazes, mm-hmm. and other people's glaze materials,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everything working together
mm-hmm.
to create the result.
Right.
And the result not predetermined. Right. Well, it's not determined by you necessarily.
Right.
Just one element of this
right.
of this together action
yeah.
process
yeah.
taking place.
Yeah. 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 That's true. I think that's true. I mean, why did I choose Korea? Right. I'm in this practice. Why did I look at Korean pagodas and say, "Oh, that'd be really cool"? And yeah. And so I think this whole practice informs what I do